And welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today we are privileged to be joined by Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, Senior Rabbinic Coordinator with the OU and the Rav of the Manastricha Beis Medrash in Flatbush. Thank you, Rabbi Rabinowitz.
Thank you so much for having me.
Important question with regard to wine is regarding wine being mevushel. One of the things we find sometimes, especially on Israeli wines, you'll find mevushel al yedei pistor, where a wine is mevushel by pasteurization. Now, first of all, talk for a moment about why wine should be mevushel and how that obviates concerns of stam yenom. And then get into, if you don't mind, talk about the pasteurization process and if that qualifies as something being mevushel.
Sure. Okay. These are all excellent questions and questions that have been debated, especially in recent memory in the last decades. Wine, which is mevushel, has been excluded from the prohibition of stam yayin. And obviously, if it was yayin nesach, if it was worshipped as avodah zarah, then it would be forbidden irrespective. But yayin, which is mevushel, Chazal never made such a prohibition. Why? So there are really two reasons. And one reason is that yayin mevushel, cooked wine, was not considered common. It was very, not a common practice at all to make such a wine. So Chazal established this prohibition for a standard product. They never established it for something which is out of the ordinary. They never established it for yayin mevushel. Another reason is that yayin mevushel, wine which is cooked, was considered inferior. Mm-hmm. It was considered degraded to some extent. Now, the same way we would not have used in ancient times in the Beis HaMikdash, we would not have used as nesachim, because yayin is used for nesachim, we would never use wine which was mevushel. They, the idol worshippers, would also never have used it for their idol worship. So Chazal enacted the prohibition on the basis of the original biblical Torah prohibition. And therefore, they never established it for something which is considered inferior. And I think what comes to play over here is that you have a product which may or may not be degraded. And I'll explain why. When you cook something, it changes the consistency. It changes the flavor profile of what you've cooked. But there is something called flash pasteurization. That means you're quickly cooking and quickly cooling the product. That may slightly change a flavor profile, but not significantly. No, not significantly. Mm-hmm. And there were paiskim in Eretz Yisrael, in particular in Eretz Yisrael, the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Eliashiv, they did not want to rely on a pasteurized product and consider it to be mevushel. Mm-hmm. Why? So some argued because today it has become common. Now, I don't think it is common for wine, but it not just common, but it's required for grape juice. Because grape juice, pasteurization, Louis Pasteur was the famous French inventor who created the system of pasteurization. Why? Because food products, even wine products, certainly milk products, if they have bacteria in them, they will be prone to spoilage. Mm-hmm. If you pasteurize it, that's a low-grade cooking, it kills that bacteria. And therefore the product, if it's bottled after pasteurization, is less likely to spoil. Mm-hmm. Now, that is required for juice. In time of Chazal, you couldn't store grape juice as grape juice for any period of time. They didn't have extensive refrigeration or freezing. Mm-hmm. And even with refrigeration, if you were to leave grape juice, or any juice for that matter, without pasteurization,
shelf life was very short.
Exactly, right. So it wasn't possible. One method of preserving is making wine. That's converting the sugars into alcohol, and that is a method of preservation. But pasteurization can achieve that. Now, you can't make grape juice unless you froze it and keep it that way. It just won't last. You'd need pasteurization. So in terms of what is or not shchiach, what is or is not common, I would say grape juice would commonly be pasteurized, just as orange juice is pasteurized, as is apple juice, as is any other juice. And wine would almost never be pasteurized unless they're doing it for the specific reasons of avoiding the kashrus prohibition. Mm-hmm. And You know, wine is very unique amongst products because every kosher product, you have a piece of kosher meat, which is very kosher sensitive, mm-hmm. but anybody can handle it. Anybody can touch it, move it without, you know, making it prohibited. But that's not the case for wine. Wine, once you extract juice from a grape, it's hands off, except for those we know would never misuse it or mm-hmm. abuse it in the way that the original Avdei Avodah Zarah, the original idolaters did.
Now, to clarify, that would be applicable to open bottles of wine, not closed bottles of wine, correct? Yeah. So a non-Jew would be allowed, a Gentile would be allowed to handle a closed bottle of wine without thereby prohibiting it for as Stam Yayin, just to clarify that.
Right. And for the same reason, as we mentioned, Mavushal, once something is cooked, that's not to say Mavushal doesn't take a non-kosher wine and make it kosher,
right.
but the Maga Akum, the handling by a non-Jew, would not then prohibit it.
Mm-hmm. Now, so typically, really, if you look out there in the world of wines, you correct me if I'm wrong, you probably won't find any cooked wines other than those of the kosher variety, right? You're ruining the wine in a certain sense, especially from a wine purist standpoint. Is that correct?
Well, that's interesting. There are some exceptions, but it's certainly not the norm. The vast majority of wines are not cooked at all. Mm-hmm. There are some winemakers that do. They believe in it. And
they do it for pasteurization reasons or for other reasons?
They do it to preserve the wine. Sometimes mm-hmm. Some have argued that it may even enhance the wine, not degrade it. I think with flash pasteurization, the reality is that if there is any difference in flavor, it's very minor and very hard to detect. Some of the major differences actually don't relate to the flavor of the wine as it is now, but sometimes the way it would age in the future. Mm-hmm. Some wines are advised that you not drink it now.
Right away,
that
you preserve let it sit.
Sit for sometimes for years even. Mm-hmm. And they say that it ages differently once you pasteurize it.
Now, if I see a kosher bottle of wine and it says the word mevushel on it, can I assume that it was cooked adequately? Obviously, I'm assuming it has a reliable hashgacha, but how do I know if it was really cooked or if it was pasteurized, or is there no way to know just by looking at a bottle?
I would say under most circumstances, what says mevushel on it has been pasteurized.
Mm-hmm.
To what temperature? Some will identify the temperature on the label. I can tell that the OU requires, as Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in his tshuva, it has to be a high level of Yad Soledes, which is a minimum of 175 degrees Fahrenheit. Others require even a higher temperature than that.
Mm-hmm.
Some are requiring even boiling temperatures, 212 degrees.
Right.
But it's not the only method, by the way. There is another technology called flash détente today, which is a method by which they cook the grapes early in the process. They actually explode the grapes, and they cause what's called the maceration or the coloration of the juice immediately. That is something that can take sometimes weeks. And by cooking it at a very high temperature, they cause that to happen immediately. So there are other methods of Bishul as well, but the most common one, I would say, is the mm-hmm. pasteurization.
Now, I just want to conclude with there's a fascinating story. Your Rebbetzin's uncle was the famed Dr. Twersky, and he told over several times, and I've seen the story written, interesting story related to wine and pasteurization. If you don't mind, take a moment to share it, because I think the readers or the viewers will really enjoy it.
Right. I speak often to companies, Jewish companies, non-Jewish companies, and they have a hard time understanding why grape juice should be so restricted. Wine, they understand. Wine is special. Wine is used in all kinds of different rituals. So that they can grasp. It's an alcoholic beverage. But in the mind of many, orange juice, apple juice, grape juice is just, it's a juice fruit. That's all it is, a fruit juice. So why would this be different? So I actually confirmed the story with him, and he told me that when he ran, he actually founded the Gateway Rehabilitation Center in Pittsburgh, which was intended to help people suffering with alcoholism or drug addiction. And he had at one point, he had a Catholic priest who was an alcoholic. And he was struggling with the program, as you might imagine, many with addiction struggle. So this patient walked in And he said, Rabbi, he says, I just can't. I give up. I can't go through with the program. And of course, he cried to encourage him as he would otherwise. He said, Rabbi, he says, we use wine as a libation. I have to be around wine. I have to use wine. I can't give it up cold turkey. I can't just give it up completely. So Rabbi Twersky said to him, he says, why don't you use it? Use grape juice. He says, I don't know if we can use grape juice. He says, I'll have to ask a Shiloh. So he went back to the local cardinal in the Pittsburgh area, and they said, it's an interesting question. We don't know the answer. The question went up the tiers in the Catholic Church until it reached Rome, and the answer that he got back was, if it's good for the Jews, it's good for you as well. And I guess they can also use grape juice. So grape juice, even though it's not turned into alcohol, it's really what we call in halacha yain megita. It's just wine from the press, meaning it's not fermented. Nonetheless, halachically is identical to the wine after it's fermented as well.
That's absolutely fascinating. Thank you for that story.
Pleasure.
And thank you for this wonderful conversation, which is extremely instructive, and you gave us a wonderful background into wine and grape juice.
This is a real schuss for me to be able to, you know, to provide. Well, we work with kashrus all the time, and to be able to share some of what we do and the experiences that we have is really just a pleasure.
Thank you so much.